guys, what's going on? You're listening to ReviewAday.ca, and I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dodd, from ThisWeekInGeek.net, and many great radio stations across this great land of ours, including News Talk 1010 in Toronto on the Jim Richards Show, whenever they decide to call me. So guys, well, it is Tuesday, March 5th, 2013. This is episode number 284. Last time on Rad, we looked at the My Little Pony Fighting is Magic, the Evo build, and well, looks like the game's not dead. I found that out pretty much hours after I posted the episode, and then got trolled by some guy. May he die in a fire. But moving on. We're going to be talking about the last piece of single-player DLC for one of my favorite games of all time, Mass Effect 3. And well, spoiling the story would be a real douchebag thing to do. So I'm going to do my very best to talk around that and kind of give you the experience that I had with this particular piece of DLC. So it's hard to say goodbye to a game like this. I mean, like I said, this is the last piece of single-player DLC. I don't know what they're going to do in terms of multiplayer, because with the new Xbox launching this year, I kind of wonder what's going to happen to the support for this. I mean, how much longer will the multiplayer community be around? I mean, it's been around for a year strong with multiple free weekends, lots of cool stuff to give away, those challenges, really cool. I think my N7 rating has been climbing. I think I'm almost 1,100 right now. Yeah, I know there's people that are like 26,000, but I try to have a life, what little one I have. Which reminds me, I will be around next week as I'm not going anywhere. So expect a couple rads probably on Monday or Tuesday. But anyway, that being said though, guys, going through this game with this last piece of DLC, I played as FemShep, in this particular thing. Now this unlocks after the Cerberus coup on the Citadel, and basically what happens is you get a message at your private terminal. Hackett says, you know what, the Normandy needs a refit, you need some shore leave, you're not going to do anybody any favors if you're tired, and your ship is falling apart. So you go to the Citadel, and you take over Admiral Anderson's old apartment that him and Kaylee Sanders were actually going to share. So that was really nice, and that's something that I think the main focus of this DLC is. It really kind of flushes, it adds a lot of nuance to a lot of the characters in this. I mean, you really find out a lot about Admiral Anderson. Now, I haven't read the books, so I don't know how much this goes with the established canon or whether they wink towards the stories that have already been told, be it in novel or comic book form. But Keith David gets like 30 minutes to talk. As you wander around your apartment, you can find these audio logs, which are excerpts from a interview he did with Al Jelani. And it's just nice to hear Keith David get more of a say in this franchise. In fact, I would have loved to have heard more from Lance Henriksen as Admiral Hackett. But sadly, I guess that's a little spoiler. You don't get a whole hell of a lot of that, though. But what you do get in this, as you guys have seen in the trailer for this DLC, everybody who's alive comes back. However, though, that being said, there are certain characters that will not come back just because of when the DLC unlocks and depending on the choices that you've made. So I'm not going to spoil this, but it's pretty much, if you played the game, you know who's not going to show up. But yeah, never know. So my playthrough, I started this at about 8 o'clock this morning. I finished at about 12:30. So there's about 4.5 hours of content here. Not all of it's gameplay. A lot of it's a lot of listening to conversations and a variety of different mission types. Like there's actually a stealth one, which is kind of fun. More of a social one, which was a bit of a different takeoff, very much like the Donovan Hawk one that happened in Mass Effect 2 with Kasumi. And then there's straight out combat, which there's a lot of that. Plus, there are some new weapons and mods. There are mods to your weapons that will increase your biotics. The character I'm playing right now is a soldier, so I can't really speak too well to that. My other character was a sentinel, and that's my male Shep. Haven't done a playthrough with him yet in the new gear. I did find two new guns. You do get this wicked silenced pistol, which is retarded powerful. Although you can upgrade it along the way. But yeah, you'll be popping headshots with this thing, no problem. I'm actually, I guess I'll mention that once I get towards the end of it. You also get a new assault rifle, which is a variant of the Avenger. And it, I would treat it like the Collector SMG, where it has regenerating ammo. It's really cool. I mean, I had a lot of fun with it, but I haven't had a chance to use it outside of the combat simulator in the game, but you do pick it up in the main game. Just, I didn't have a chance to buff it up here. In terms of war assets, you're only getting things that really affect the Normandy. You're getting Team Spirit. You're getting something that affects the retrofit itself. You're not getting a whole lot of war assets, all things considered, though. Although I did find there was a lot of moments where you could get a lot of Paragon points and a lot of reputation as well with this. Some of the other mods that I forgot to mention, you get assault rifle materials, you get sniper rifle, shotgun, that mod that I just talked about. And those are the only ones that I can think of, though you can unlock them when you get to the arcadey games later on towards the end of the actual DLC. But you can revisit this hub anytime you want. And that's something to mention, too. Now you're not tied to the money that you have. And what I mean by that is you can earn money here. And there's a real chance to, like, you can do a variety of different mini games. There's Roulette, there's Quasar from the first game, there's Varen Racing, and those are the ones that I can remember off the top of my head, but I know there were a couple other ones. There's one that's like Rock'em Sock'em Robots, and it's just really, I'm really surprised just how much they put into this. Plus, you can also earn money in something called the Combat Simulator. So think of this as the Mass Effect 3 version of Pinnacle Station. Would be a good way to describe it, although tends to hold a little bit more weight here because you have to earn unlocks and modifications during your playthrough, which I'm not going to reveal who you can play with as the allies, but let's just say I was very surprised to see Mass Effect 3 versions of some of these people that you can play with, which is really exciting, I think, though. One of the things that I would call this DLC is very stylish. Especially, this happens in the first 20 minutes, so I don't really consider it too much of a spoiler. As you saw in the trailer, you get attacked, and you have to make it back to this extraction point with just a pistol. And it's, I don't know, it kind of gave me this weird spy kind of feel. But then again, maybe I'm just thinking of the Archer Shepherd account, I don't know. But it felt different. Like, it felt like there's enough change here to keep things moving forward. There were a few points where it felt like maybe this is a monster closet towards the end of the DLC, but I didn't feel like it was padded too much, though. There is some of the social things that you have to do. It does feel a little drawn out, but if you just sit around and listen to some of the conversations, there's some pretty interesting things being said there that kind of enrich the Mass Effect universe to make it come alive, if you will. Lastly, one thing that I want to mention about this DLC has a real sense of humor about itself, almost to the point where it takes itself not too seriously. I mean, when you see the twist coming, I don't know what you're going to say, which is maybe not necessarily a good thing, but I enjoyed it for what it was, because when you think about it, it does make a kind of sense. But there are some genuinely laugh-out-loud moments right towards the end of this DLC, and there's more than a couple of what the hell, but in a good way. So I would actually classify this DLC, it's a huge love letter to the fans, especially if you've been with the series since the beginning. You'll see things that happened in Mass Effect 1 get referenced, which is actually really, really cool, and them bringing back certain characters that you met in Mass Effect 1, especially in some of the dialogue, which really kind of surprised me, which if you guys keep hearing that sound, that's my cat, Dr. Wily, going apeshit for some odd reason. But you're going to ask, is the DLC worth $15? Well, I'm going to say yes. If anything, because of the replayability you get with the combat simulators and all the mini games, because it does give you a chance to max out all those weapons for a playthrough. And it would have been nice had this unlocked a little sooner in the game, but I guess they wanted it to sit on the sort of to give you something after the Cerberus coup, because when you think about it, you only have Rannoch, Thessia, Sanctuary, Chrono Station. You only have four major missions plus the N7 missions in there and some of the optional things. So there's not a whole lot of game left. But yeah, I would recommend it. Now, this is a big piece of DLC, spanning actually two pieces. You have to download the first one. You can download the second one right now if you want. It's free, but it won't do anything because it needs the first piece to work. It's about 4 gigs in size, so hope you got the hard drive space for that. Lastly, there are some new achievements in here. They're all pretty easy to get. The only ones I haven't unlocked are the ones via the combat simulator, because I just haven't had a chance to really fool around with that. I fooled around with it for maybe 15, 20 minutes before I recorded. So hopefully by the time this goes up, I'll have those other ones, which I think brings the total of Mass Effect 3 achievements to 68. I think I'm sitting at something like 62 or 63. So it's a good piece of DLC. I didn't expect to smile as much as I did during it. And I think that's what I think that's why I like this the most, is because if you've been with the series since the beginning, this is a goodbye from the people that made this game. And I know there is going to be a Mass Effect 4, but this is the end of Shepard's story. And especially playing as a femme Shep, depending on who your romance option is here, there's one scene that'll play out that will, if you're... I'm a femme Shep Garrus relationship person in the game, and it really felt heartfelt. Like, it genuinely felt like, you know, you really get these two. So that's the big reason to pick this up. It's for the characters. I mean, the combat is fine. It's fun. The new weapons are really cool. Like I said, I'm really liking the new assault rifle that I got. Hopefully it'll be just as awesome as my Cerberus Harrier, but we'll have to wait and see. So anyway, guys, that's pretty much going to do it for me this week here on Review A Day. I'll be back next week. Not quite too sure what I'll be doing. I might be reviewing the new Tomb Raider. And there are some games on Xbox Live and PS3 I just haven't had a chance to check out. So that will be what will be on the show next week. So, like I said, guys, I'll be around. So until next time, guys, I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd saying live free or die hard. And be sure to check out MTV.ca this Thursday, where I will be on the show MTV Creeps. If you're in Canada, it's on MTV Canada at 9:30 on Thursday. Let's see how big of a fool I get to make myself out as. So check that out. And until next time, guys, live free or die hard.